Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this weekend, Muslims around the world will be celebrating Eid al-Fitr, which marks the end of the month-long dawn-to-sunset fasting for Ramadan. At the beginning of the month, as some of you will remember, we opened up the phones to take calls from Muslim listeners about how you anticipated Ramadan and how it would go this year. So now we're going to open up the phones for a second time for any Muslim listeners who would like to call in and talk about how Ramadan during COVID-19 actually did go. Give us a call now at 646-435-7280. Our lines are open for Muslim listeners at 646-435-7280. How will you celebrate Eid while practicing social distancing this weekend? Can you feast and distance at the same time? How do you plan to? 646-435-7280. And since a big part of the month is charity, did the pandemic impact your charitable donations this year in any way, or any other act of charity, or anything else you'd like to say as the Eid begins and Ramadan is about to end? Give us a call now, Muslim listeners, at 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. And joining me now to help take your calls and to talk about how he will be celebrating Eid while social distancing and to help break down why charity is a big part of the holiday is Kashif Sheikh, co-founder and executive director of the Pillars Fund, a foundation that elevates the leadership, talents, and narratives of American Muslims. Welcome to WNYC, Kashif.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Eid al-Fitr, which will take place this weekend, usually marks the biggest gathering of Muslim communities. It's a time when some even visit their families in different cities or states. So may I ask first, how will you be celebrating Eid?
You know, it's going to be very different, as you can imagine. It's funny, just a few months ago, my wife came home from work and she had was so excited and said, "Hey, I just realized that Eid al-Fitr is going to be falling on Memorial Day." And we live in Chicago and her family is in Ohio. And she was so excited we could have the long weekend. We booked our tickets to Columbus and we're going to not only do the Eid prayer and get together with the family, but have a whole long weekend. And it was something we were really looking forward to doing. And of course, as you can imagine, that's no longer the case. We're not going to be going to Ohio. But we, like so many other people, will be celebrating via Zoom, via Skype, we're trying to make it the best that we can. She just had a conversation with me this morning and said, "Hey, maybe we could dress up a little and not maybe wear the normal sweatpants and hoodie and get on the call with her family." So we plan to do as what we can and be with our be in our community, but of course be virtually with so many of them.
And obviously, every family is different. Muslim communities in different nations are different. But what ties the Eid together? Tell the non-Muslim listeners what the Eid is, what the celebrations tend to be like. Is there a central ritual or two? And what's the deeper meaning behind how the Eid is celebrated at the end of the month?
Yeah, so Eid al-Fitr literally means the festival of breaking the fast and marks the end of Ramadan, a month that's centered on spiritual reflection and thinking about those most in need. And so typically we celebrate Eid by gathering with family and friends, dressing up and feasting together and exchanging gifts. And one of the most, one of the biggest traditions is being in community together in the mosque and doing Eid prayer together. And so like every other holiday that's taken place during this time of social distancing, it's a very different feel this year. And so the feast that we do, it's really centered around this idea of we've spent 30 days abstaining from food and water from sunup to sundown. And it's meant to be a very communal holiday. We often cook food. In some of the communities that I grew up in, after the prayer, many community members would hold open houses where many people would come in and out of their homes, cooking food and sharing a meal. So it's really, really a stressed to be a time of community. And that's why Eid is going to be so just different for so many people this year.
Taha in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Taha.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to say about the experience this Ramadan has been very different. Initially, we were really apprehensive that we won't be able to do as much or go, you know, we typically go to prayers in the evenings and communal gatherings. But instead, we ended up having, we had to do everything at home, but it was much more spiritual than it normally was. So in some ways, and there were a lot of online options, like online lectures that you could be part of. So it was very, very connecting in some ways and more spiritually satisfying than one expected.
That's so interesting, Taha. Thank you very much. More spiritually satisfying, do you think, by the way, than previous years? Is that part of what you're saying for yourself?
Yeah, I think you spend a lot of time going to mosques and stuff like that, and instead of spending that time and driving and stuff like that, you're just praying and connecting yourself. So in that way, it was much more satisfying.
Taha, thank you very much. That's so interesting, Kashif. Did you have, or do you know other people have had similar kind of experience?
I've actually heard that a lot, and when I think about my own experience, I do think about one of the more interesting parts of this Ramadan was, regardless of sort of, we often think about Ramadan as a month of just abstaining from food and water from sunup to sundown, but really it's a spiritual month that's meant for us to look inward and be reflective, and it's very hard not to be reflective during a global pandemic in which our lives have changed on the drop of a dime. I know for me, I was someone who traveled a lot for work. I was on the road, sometimes like in three cities in a week. And just like that, that was completely taken away. And I was home, and I've been home for almost 3 months now. So regardless of sort of what you believe, it's hard not to be humbled in this moment. And it's hard not to look at Ramadan through that lens and recognize that the universe is so much bigger than us. So I have heard that. And I do think that it's something that makes a lot of sense.
Might have been a lot of a bit harder for our next caller, Farhad in Selden on Long Island. Hi, Farhad, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
What would you like to say? How'd Ramadan go?
Ramadan was great. The only thing that I wanted to share with everyone was that this month with the pandemic and all the lockdowns, we did not have a spiritually very good Ramadan like we had all the other years. Everybody had to stay home, and all the masjids and all those programs that everybody was going to was closed. So I hope everybody is doing great, and I hope they open the masjids for Eid. That's all I wanted to say, and I wish every Muslim and everyone a happy Eid.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. So let's go right on to Fazia in Westchester. You're on WNYC. Hi, Fazia.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for this question. I just wanted to say that our mosque in Westchester County, the Upper Westchester Muslim Society, is going to do a drive-by for the kids on Eid so they can come pick up their gifts and some goodie bags.
Ah, that's great. Yeah, the drive-by is the new in-person.
Right.
Kashif.
Absolutely. And we've been hearing a lot about these unique and innovative ways to gather, particularly on Eid. And so it's wonderful to hear that your community is going to be celebrating it in that way.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. Can you tell listeners who may not be familiar why charity is such an important part of Ramadan, especially leading up to the Eid?
Yeah, I think charity is an enormous part. It's called zakat in our tradition, and it's an enormous part of our faith in general. Zakat, which is essentially giving to charity, is one of the five pillars of Islam, and Muslims who are financially able to do so are required to donate 2.5% of their wealth to charity. And as part of marking the end of Ramadan, anyone who is able to do so makes a modest zakat contribution to help the poor break their fast and take part in a communal experience. And so it's really a month for us to be reflective and think about ways that we can give back. And there are certain traditions that believe that when you give during Ramadan, such a holy month, that your deeds are multiplied. So many people like to give a lot of their charity during this month, because it's such a holy month, and it's really drives and makes us want to give back. And there's incredible organizations feeding New York Muslims in need, including NYU's Islamic Center, led by the wonderful Had Latif, who you had on at the beginning of Ramadan, which has been running a Ramadan drive and is accepting donations online. So it's an enormous part of the faith, but during Ramadan, it is really amplified quite a bit.
And you want to talk in that context a little bit about the work that your group, the Pillars Fund, does?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so the Pillars Fund, you know, I co-founded the Pillars Fund around 10 years ago because I realized there was incredible talent and leadership in Muslim communities, but these organizations weren't getting the support they needed to make the difference that they were capable of making. So if we could harness untapped wealth, we also knew that existed in American Muslim communities, we could make real progress in this country on our own terms. And so our mission, as you'd mentioned earlier, is to elevate the leadership, narratives, and talents of American Muslims in order to create a more equitable, just, and inclusive society. And we typically do this through community grant making. So last year, we make grants to more than 25 Muslim-led civic organizations that are focusing on advancing rights and opportunity, individual and community wellness. And our community of grantees are really supported by a community of Muslim philanthropists in the U.S. who are committed to giving back and supporting these organizations. And so it's an organization that has grown quite substantially in the last couple of years, and I'm really honored to be leading.
And we'll continue in a minute with more of your calls. Muslim listeners, how did Ramadan in the era of COVID-19 go for you? And specifically, as we talk about the charitable giving and charitable actions that are traditionally part of these last days of Ramadan leading up to the Eid this weekend, anything you want to say that you're doing or that you see others doing that you want to give a shout out to in that respect, 646-435-7280, with Kashif Sheikh from the Pillars Fund, 646-435-7280. How was Ramadan under lockdown? Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Kashif Sheikh, co-founder and executive director of the Pillars Fund, and your end of Ramadan calls. Fani and Canarsie are on WNYC. Hi, Fani.
Good morning, Brian.
Thank you so much
for the public service that you're providing for the city.
Thank you.
I would like to my fellow Muslim New Yorkers, like them to consider giving their zakat to local charities this year. There are many of them who are highly in need, and they can go online to the food bank website. They have lists of common pantries and soup kitchens who are really, really in need of food. If they could consider donating, even buying the food and taking it there. Also go on Amazon, where Amazon has a site, AmazonSmile.com, and they can go there. And Amazon has many charities who have put up a list of their wish lists of high priority need items that they need. So they can also go on that website and choose what speaks to them and donate to those charities if they can. As Muslims, you know, we see like charity start at home. And New York City is our home. So this is the time to donate, not just consider Muslim charities, but other charities too.
Nice.
So thank you for taking my call, Brian. And I'm a little nervous. It's my first time calling, so please forgive me. Well, and Eid Mubarak to all Muslim New Yorkers and to our Muslims all over. And thank you, Brian.
Fani, thank you so much. And you made your call a really meaningful and great one. And to her point, Kashif, is it a year, you think, for focusing more on local charities with New York, the epicenter of COVID-19, than people might do at other times?
I think we've always sort of, particularly the Pillars Fund, we've really sort of encouraged to give back in the local communities that we're serving, regardless of whether we're in the midst of a global pandemic or not. I think a lot of that sentiment comes from the fact that a large portion of our communities come from our first or second generation immigrants. And so we grew up, many of us grew up with our parents giving back to the countries from which they came from. For example, my parents are from Pakistan. They immigrated to New York in the late 70s. And a lot of their charitable efforts, as much as they were loved this country and were so happy about what it was offering them, really felt that they could give back, more money could go back. And I think what you're seeing is a newer generation of people who really feel strongly about committing and strengthening the communities from which we come from. And I think that's it's a really important part of not just Ramadan Eid, but our tradition in general.
Sadia in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sadia.
Hi. Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for this bit on Eid. So I was calling, I mean, Eid Mubarak to everyone who's celebrating on the weekend. But I was calling just to say that, I mean, I'm alone in this city. And Ramadan has been quite difficult, actually, for me. And I think for a lot of people who don't have families here or whose families are somewhere else in the world, it's actually been quite difficult. And on the first day of Ramadan, also, there's a New Yorker who passed away abroad, but an artist named Zarina, who it felt very heavy for me, actually, like the whole month. And it's been quite difficult to gather with people. And I was also sick during Ramadan. And so it's been difficult to even observe the fast in a way without feeling that you're going to compromise your health. So I agree that it's a time of reflection and it's been meaningful, but it's been quite difficult.
And Kashif, do you want to talk to Sadia? And Sadia, it's so interesting because we've heard this half hour from people who have found it in a certain respect more spiritually fulfilling. And obviously, with all these conditions out there, there are people who are going to find it incredibly different. Kashif, do you want to reflect on that with Sadia?
Yeah, Sadia, thank you so much for the call. And I completely understand where you're coming from, because I feel like one of the really difficult things that happened as soon as quarantine, as soon as the stay-at-home orders came in, was that people were trying to figure out, particularly people who aren't close to their families or don't have a lot of family nearby, about how to find that time or whether they should go back. And I know that for so many people, it was spent kind of, whether it was in New York City, whether it was in California, whether it was in Texas, being by themselves. And it can be a very, very challenging, it's a challenging time. It's exacerbated by the fact that it can be a spiritually demanding month. And I think that one of the things that I have always sort of found a lot of solace in was the fact that the faith has always sort of promoted our health and it's not meant to, you know, we shouldn't be fasting if it's not healthy for us to do so. And I think that when I think about the difficulty that you're going through, I have a deep level of empathy, because I know so many people. I've known people who've passed during this Ramadan. It is an incredibly heavy, heavy time in the world. And for me, for example, my dad, who lives in Pakistan, who was supposed to come home actually next week and be with us for the summer, you know, we only get to see him about maybe once a year, once every 2 years. It's very sad. So,
and that has to be the last word. Some sadness mixed in with some of the joy that you brought earlier. Kashif Sheikh, co-founder and executive director of the Pillars Fund, a foundation that elevates the leadership, talents, and narratives of American Muslims. Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak. Thank you so much for having me.
And to all of you who celebrate the holiday, Eid Mubarak. And usually, listeners, as Memorial Day weekend begins, people say, don't overdo it, meaning don't drink and drive. This year, yes, don't overdo that. And don't take a nice, benign weather day as a stand-in for the virus forgot about you. The virus is an opportunist. So keep that in mind, whatever else you do, just not in a state of denial. Enjoy the weird Memorial Day weekend, though. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.